everybody, and good afternoon. I'm happy to be with you this afternoon. But first, let me thank Jade and Wilnona and the other sponsors for inviting me to be part of this 2018 Inspirational Women in Literature, Media, and Journalism Conference. I've been asked to speak briefly to the emerging female writers who are starting their journey in media, literature, and journalism. And actually, I began my own journey as a playwright after 40 plus years as a college and high school English teacher. So I'd say truthfully, I've lived with and in the world of words my whole life. And here's a bit of what I've learned. In Robert McKee's masterful book, Story, he tells us that we live in story. It's how we communicate, how we make meaning. And story helps us to understand our world, but it can also lead to a kind of self-knowledge, who we are, what we've learned, and how we've learned it. Most of all, within the world of story, it's possible for us to discover our own humanity. But no story ever really exists until it's been told. And every story is about something. And whoever tells the story is connected to the listener or the reader for a reason. So it's natural to ask as we write, what does a storyteller want from the listener? In other words, what is the connection we seek? Now, no story comes to us already in its completed form. So another thing to keep in mind as we write is that whenever or wherever we enter the story, we're actually in the middle of something. I mean, things have happened to our characters before we meet them. They didn't just appear out of thin air with no past of their own. So we have to take that into account as we let our curiosity roam free in the world of what if. For example, one of August Wilson's most famous plays began with an image that haunted him. It was the image of a man, a big, burly, working-class man holding a baby, a newborn. The man was alone, standing in the driveway outside of a house, just standing there, holding that baby. And Wilson wanted to know who that man was and why he was holding that baby. Answers to the questions he asked of that image became the play Fences. My own play, Voices, began with snatches of conversation that literally woke me up from a sound sleep. And that conversation was between, as I imagined it, Joan of Arc and George Bernard Shaw. I saw them in heaven. They were not getting along with each other, or anybody else for that matter. And the two of them were engaged in a drawn-out, heated argument about the legitimacy of the voices they heard and felt compelled to follow. Joan said her voices came directly from God and therefore spoke truth. Shaw said he heard the voices of his characters, who would then speak their truth in the world of his plays. Each argued passionately for the rightness of listening to and following the truth in the voices they heard. Now, my curiosity about the heat in their argument led me to ask about the voices we listen to today and why we believe what they tell us. Whether those voices come from Fox News or Dr. Oz or the fashion industry or John Lewis at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, my play asks why we believe the voices we choose to listen to. But, you know, those flashes of images or snatches of conversation I spoke of are just detail or content, not story. And content is not the same as plot. Content is what happens, plot is how it happens. The English teacher in me would say, if story is a noun, plot is its verb. The South African playwright Ethel Fugard once told me that the writer's job is figure out what to tell and when to tell it. Sounds easy, but it's not. But anyway, that, my friend, is called structure. Of course, every story needs a beginning, middle, and end, but at the core of plot is a conflict that brings about change. The story's meaning unfolds in the process of our asking some important questions. Who or what in the story changes? What is the nature of that change? How does the change happen? Why does it happen? What is the result of that change? And the answers to these questions actually design the roadmap for plot. Now, for any beginning writers out there, I'd like to suggest something. Memoir. You know, we're all memoirists. We all have memory, and we remember what has happened to us in our lives. The past is not a story. It's the past, a collection of details. But the past is linked to the present and is in a state of constant dynamic change. The lens through which we see the past refocuses memory over the years as experience informs us of life's expanded meaning. That's the crux of story. We can, and I would argue should, record what we know, what we've experienced. Write it for our children, for our grandchildren, and for ourselves. And we shouldn't be overwhelmed by the whole idea. We can cut our fear down to size by thinking of each memory as a separate story all on its own. Write them out one at a time, letting the scattered details flow from beginning through the middle and on to the end of what we remember. And don't overthink it, just let the writing flow. Once we've finished several memories, we might begin to see connections, even patterns. That's the time to rearrange details and consider things like structure. My motto, and it's attributed to Hemingway, is write drunk, edit sober. Or, as I always told my students, write it, then fix it. Really good built-in structure for recording a specific memory is to ask, what do I see now that I didn't see then? We call this the reflection structure. Sandra Cisneros used it in her story 11. Tony K. Barbera used it in The Lesson. Both brilliant stories. They each give us an adult narrator who's looking back to a time in her life, telling us, this is who I was then. This is what happened to that girl. This is what I've come to understand about that girl and what happened to her. So think about that question. What do I see now that I didn't see then? In looking for that answer, we not only craft our story, we may just rediscover ourselves. So those are my comments. Are there any questions you would like to ask?
Any questions, guys? Do you have any questions? So what are some techniques you use when revisiting stories from the past? That's from Brandy.
Visiting stories from the past, if I'm thinking about memory, I like to work from the middle to the outside. Focus on who it is I'm talking about. Am I talking about something that happened to me? Or am I talking about a memory, let's say, for example, of my mother, who's deceased? And that moment that I'm remembering, why does it speak to me? And then I begin to look at the details. What do I remember that actually happened from my point of view, the age I was at the time the event happened, and then try to look at it from my mother's point of view. What would she have seen in that event if she wanted to teach me something or maybe fuss at me about something? So I work it that way and then try to look at the structure that we tell. Remember, we tell a story for the listener, and we want to make that connection. So then I look at what I've written to see what I'm trying to communicate, build a bridge to the reader or the listener. When I write my plays, I listen to the voices that I hear in my head, the characters. And like August Wilson, I try to find out who those characters are, and then I follow them around to see what the story is. But I'm always in the back of my mind thinking about the audience, because no matter what I write or what I say, that doesn't guarantee that the people sitting in those chairs or the people reading what I've written are going to hear the same thing I think I'm telling them, you know. So you have to anticipate what kind of message will they hear, or what kind of confusion might occur to them, and then work to fix it. And I say, as I said to my students, write it first and then fix it. Does that help?
Yes, great advice. That's what Brandy says. She says great advice. And now thank you, Ms. Barbara, for coming on. We are now going to.
This has been a